Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
So in Ephesians chapter 4, 2, verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, let's read this together, says this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us," right? "And seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come," not just this age only, "in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his," what? "Workmanship." All right. "Created in Christ for good works." So again, you couldn't independently do something and say, "God, you have to accept me. I've done it good enough." You couldn't do that because your nature was ungodly. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, once we are born again, by grace, but how? Through faith. Faith activates the grace. Now we have the ability, because our spirit man is alive to God, to do works that are pleasing to him because our nature is like his. Because God himself works. I'm going to say that again. God himself works. Work is not a bad word. Hallelujah. Amen. So we should all be working. Now, our working did not make us right with God. Our working proves we're already right with God. Hallelujah. Jesus came down on the earth. Why? To do a work. He said, "I've come to destroy the works of the devil." Well, the devil has works. Jesus had works. He said, "If you see me doing something, it's only because I've heard from the Father." He said, "If you don't even believe that I am Jesus and I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah," he said, "and believe the works." Well, who was doing those works? He was. And how was he doing them? Under grace. Because Jesus was full of grace. Hallelujah. So there's an aspect of grace, not the first grace that God introduced us to, which was unmerited favor. We did not deserve what Jesus did based upon our own merit. We deserve to be judged and cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But God, wanting to fulfill his word, let man have dominion and be in our likeness, that after Adam fell out of dominion, he said, "Well, I'll send another man, my son, in the form of a man to get back what Adam lost, so man would have the opportunity again." Now, if man doesn't want to accept it, he doesn't have to. But he won't be able to look at me and say, "Well, Adam fell, and then all of a sudden, all of us were made in his image now, the fallen state. There's no way I could have gotten right. This isn't right. Why am I being, you know, because of his first failure?" Jesus is like, "I'll take care of that. I'm going to fix it, but you'll still have to confess me. You'll still have to choose that." So a finished work of Jesus doesn't even come to your account until you do something. It's called a work of faith. And that is, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, right? That he was, you know, born of a virgin and he paid the price for our sin, and you proclaim him Lord of your life, which is supreme in authority. And now he has the right to tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So with that being said, we are created for good works that God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. But notice verse 6 said we're seated with him. Now, this position of being seated with him means that we are in his authority. We have his authority. Are you hearing me? But again, you cannot function in his authority correctly if you're not hearing from him. The authority we have is called delegated power. If it's delegated, that means it comes from a different source. You can abuse power. You can walk in authority abusively, but you can't abuse God's power if you're always listening to Him on how to appropriate it. In order for you to appropriate it correctly, you have to do what Jesus did. Be seated. Meaning, you got to come at the feet of Jesus and listen in order for you to then act. Jesus Himself, all the miracles that we read about Him, all the miracle signs and wonders that He did, they are a result of a seated position, meaning He would go to the mountain or He would go out by Himself and what? Pray. He would spend time with the Father. In essence, He would be at His Father's feet, receiving instruction by the Holy Ghost on things to do. That way, then, when He went out and got into service and began to serve, He was only serving what He heard while He was seated. So Jesus knew when it's time to be seated and listen, I'm going to listen. And then when it's time to act, I'm going to go act and serve. Now my serving has power because I've listened first. So Jesus didn't just go around doing a bunch of work without listening. In fact, He could have not done the works He did if He was not connected to the Father. Or at least He couldn't have done them righteously. I mean, Jesus is making statements like this. We've got to do this so that Scripture can be fulfilled. That's because He heard Scripture. That's because it's been revealed to Him. That's because He listened. I mean, He doesn't overcome the temptation of the devil if He's not first listening to the Holy Spirit who's leading Him. So Jesus was a great listener. He would be able to sit and hear before He acted. In essence, He could turn off when it was necessary, doing for the sake of listening. And both are necessary. You can't just listen and not do. James says, okay, you're going to hear the word and not be a doer of it? Well, you're deceived. So if Jesus only would have sat at the feet of the Father, oh, I miss heaven. Oh, I miss You, Lord. I miss being in Your presence. I'm just going to stay on this mountain forever. The Father had been like, well, then why did I send You? You're not just sitting here, son. You're not just going to sit here. I mean, could you imagine Jesus when He gets transfigured? You know, when Peter, James, and John's with Him, and He's like, man, He's, you know, He's shining bright, that He's like, isn't this amazing, the presence of God? It is so amazing. I just love being in His presence. I'm right here at His feet. I'm listening to Him. He's talking to me. I'm not going back down. If all He wanted to do was listen to His Father, then His life on earth would have been a deceptive life. James said, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you live deceived. So we were never supposed to just sit and listen. We listen so we can do. James says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. There's a time to listen or sit at the feet of Jesus, so to speak, so that we can receive instruction. And then there's a time to go and serve. But then some get over and start doing without listening, which means then they're doing stuff that God's not even authorizing. And then they stay so busy doing, they quit listening. Right. That's good. Then they just become a busybody, but saying they're serving the Lord. And they serve so much that they get aggravated when other people are not serving. Now, everybody should serve, but everybody should equally listen. Which brings us to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38, it says, now, as they were traveling along, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet. Where was she at? Seated at the Lord's feet. What was she doing? Listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to Him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, You are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Okay? Now, I'm going to break some things down so we don't get ditched in this message. All right? But let me read out the Passion Translation first. Passion Translation says it this way, and as Jesus and his disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. And Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important?" Mary has discovered the one thing most important. By choosing to sit at my feet, she is undistracted. I won't take this privilege from her. Now, the first thing I want you to know is that serving is a requirement. Number one. So we are not going to take this out of context and say we should. See, that's the problem. Martha just was serving. She should just be listening. Well, Jesus said, "I'm the servant." So you can't go there. That's why we read the whole Bible, right? So you can't just go to this one thing and go to your pastor and say, "You know what? I'm not going to serve anymore. I just need to be in service." Well, you need to be in service. Yes. And if the church does right, which, you know, we do, we schedule you, right? Now, ushers may be on every service, but they're sitting listening. I mean, you're in the service. That's not a hard task. You wear a different shirt. You got a different few response, but you get to listen to the message. You're not in the children's where you're not in the service, and you have to pick it up later on you know, our podcast or YouTube, whatever, wherever we're at, which actually in May, we're going to start filming all of our services, just to let y'all know, okay? Anyway, with that being said, you know, people, "Well, you know, I just need to sit." Well, if you just need to sit, it's because you have failed somewhere. Now, I'm not saying you failed in sin. I'm just saying if you're ready to get out of serving, this is a problem. So this is not saying just listen. Because Jesus said if you want to be great, you're going to have to be the servant of all. Hallelujah. But what does this mean? Well, the first thing we want to look at is this, and I'm going to break it down. Receiving Jesus does not mean you're hearing him. Because Martha received him into her home, but she was not listening to him. So here's Jesus present in her house, but she's busy doing something else while he's talking. The next thing we learn is serving Jesus does not mean you're hearing him. This is why, you know, a lot of times when people join the church, you know, they want to get involved here and here and here and here. And well, this involvement in this area and this involvement in this area and this involvement in this area means there's additional meetings there. And that at the end of the day, we can get you so involved that you're always out serving, that you're in the church, but you're not even listening to Jesus anymore. And you're, in fact, we monitor when we watch the congregation. If they only show up when they're scheduled to serve, and we do not see them in service when they're not scheduled, this is a problem. That means we're having a conversation. Because all of a sudden, why do you not want to hear from Jesus? Amen. Because when you're not scheduled, it's your time to come be at his feet. Amen. Now, I'm not Jesus, and I'm not implying that, so please don't take it that way. But this is where we communicate the heart of God, the things of God, the Spirit of God moves, the gifts of the Spirit to get in operation, the ministering of the Word, the Spirit of God does revealing. So at this point, this is your time to sit and listen and receive in order to go do and serve. And serving is not just connected with the church, and I'll break that down here in a minute anyway. Now, I spoke this message to our staff because they have a bigger challenge than you do. And that is they must not confuse their work with their worship. Because unlike you who does not work here full time or part time, you don't see these walls as often as they do. Which means then it can get kind of clouded where I'm always there. And all of a sudden the time they want to take off is when they should be at his feet. So they begin to think, well, I'm employed. I do this because I serve God. So I'm here all the time. But while you're working, you're not listening. You're focused on your assignment. And that in and of itself is not the only way that we're serving God. Okay. It can become work so much so that we're like, I don't even want to be here. And the time you don't want to be here is when you're supposed to come and worship him. Participate in singing praises to him and then receiving the word where you're just not thinking about what's going on. And here's the thing. In our staff, what I have to watch and monitor them is that are they thinking about what they're supposed to be doing or are they in areas somewhere while service is going on because they're trying to get ahead for the week. I'm not asking you to get ahead of the week. In fact, your week could be better if you'll come sit at his feet. Amen. Because you're seated to serve. Because if you just try to serve, you're no longer connected to the listening part of the church you're assigned to, and then the things you're serving will be of your own opinion and your own direction, and then they'll become conflict. Because you're taking God in a direction he's not even going. You're trying to take him on a path he's not going. It seems right to you, but it's not what he's saying. So serving him, Jesus, doesn't mean that you're hearing him. And a lot of people like to go to churches and just get involved, but they don't actually want to apply anything they hear. Hallelujah. That becomes a problem. So you yourself have to understand, don't confuse work with worship. Because here's the thing. You have the same challenge. Many, and if I ask you to show me hands, I'd probably get quite a few of you, that you've sat in the service and thought about work. Because you just came off of something was going on, and you're sitting there, and you're taking notes about what you need to do. You're in the service, but you're not listening because you're thinking about tomorrow, or you're still thinking about the problem that you had with work. So at the end of the day, you're Martha when you should be Mary. Because you're distracted. Now, I get it. Apparently, Martha, at the end of the day, wanted her house to be in a certain way since she received her guest in. I understand that. My wife's that way. My wife has a standard. She wants that house to look when people come. And in my mind, I'm like, what's the big deal? Now, on some sides, yes. But on others, I'm like, you know, like when my kids come over, I'm like, you need to blow off the front entrance. I'm like, why? They're my kids. I mean, if they get all upset about a little bit of leaves, I mean, come on, right? But I'm like, I'll do it in the morning because I'm not going to do it tonight. I'll do it before service then. Can't guarantee something won't blow up on them before. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not acting like that's a problem. I mean, I want my stuff to look good, and I'm thankful that my wife has a very high standard. You know, but in the whole grand scheme of things, if the kids come over because, you know, we're all eating, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to blow off the front. I better go do that. I mean, it's a little irrelevant now. For principle's sake, but here's how people get locked in. I've got to finish. I got to do this. I got to finish this. I got to do this. And they get so locked in that they miss the moment they're in. And a lot of times we have a hard time turning Martha off when we should be Mary. Right? And here's the thing. Again, you work somewhere else, so coming to the building isn't as often as our employees, you know. So I have to remind our employees, look, the building is not a substitute, and your work schedule is not a substitute for you coming to church and serving as a church member. It's not a substitute. And you can't say, well, I do more than anyone else. No, you're paid by God to be a part of the vision this way. But there's still a whole church side that's totally different. And if you're confusing the two, that's a problem. And then if you want me to pay you because you're doing like stuff, that's even a bigger problem. Because now you've reduced me to a paycheck and you've forgotten your relationship with God. You know, there's many churches now that have paid musicians. Honestly, we have paid musicians. What do I mean by that? Some of our musicians work for us full time that I pay them to do that. Something else. But yet they also play. And because I pay them to do something else, if I wanted to use them during the week or something, I could technically because they're employed here. But they don't get extra money just to play here. Because at the end of the day, I don't want an entertainer. I don't want an entertainer. I don't want to pay for perfection and miss the anointing. At the end of the day. So there are certain things that's like, well, just show me your heart. Because if we've reduced everything to the church, and here's another thing that happens. Well, you know, this is where you would have a challenge. Well, you know what? They have staff. They can do it. That's what they're paid to do. Well, there's still a church that's outside of the staff. And there's things to do beyond that. Because again, if you reduce the church to the paid staff, then again, you can't come unless you're paid. Well, then who are you actually serving? Which brings us back to Martha. Because Jesus said you can't serve two masters, for you'll love one and hate the other. And you can find yourself coming to church, being in church, because you know you should be, but you're not actually listening to Jesus while you're here because you're still thinking about what's been going on at your work. So who are you actually serving? Because you're not disconnecting and saying, I'm not even going to think about it. You know, for some of you, you should probably go to a paper Bible because the electronic one is such a distraction during service. Because it's keeping you from being a Mary. Because you're checking in on all your social activity. Or other things for that matter. Which is a distraction. When you should be a Mary. Mary in the Passion says she was attentively listening to the revelation. Again, at the end of the day, we have to be intentional in these moments. Because again, I'm not here to waste your time. You shouldn't waste your time. God's definitely not here to waste your time. God is to empower you and release your gift. But in order for you to release your gift, you have to be willing to sit and listen and then know that he's empowering you with information or really revelation of who he is and who you are so that you can serve better. Amen. So God's not rebuking Martha because she's a server. What he's saying to her is that you've put your serving over listening. And that's what time it is now. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
All right. So one must learn how to engage the worship and forget about all they need to do for work the next day. You've got to learn how to do that. If you're always thinking about work, this is how I know you are. You get offended at those who come and freely worship. Because Martha was offended at Mary just sitting there. You got a lot going on, trial, tribulation, you're bringing them into church, and instead of having an ear to hear, you're watching people freely just engage God, and you're not engaging. So you get offended. Look at that. Especially if you have people that are part of your business that attend church too, because you have influenced them to come, and they did. And then they worship, and you're like, well, they have no idea what it takes. Guess what? You're distracted by your work, and you're upset that your employee has become a Mary when you should be a Mary too. Amen. As far as the employees of Anchor Faith Church, they have no idea. And then let me go over to the congregation. You have no idea of things that we deal with because you're not supposed to. Right. But at the end of the day, in fact, something just happened tonight before I came on the platform. And I said, if that's true, then this is what's going to happen. But it didn't stop me from being married. Because at the end of the day, that will be taken care of. I'm not going to be concerned about it. That's take care of itself. Because why? The head of the church is taking care of it. At the end of the day, he's awesome. Yeah. So I can engage him because, again, my worship to him can give me insight to situations that are going on when I need to get them. Because listening is what serves better. In essence, he's saying, look, Martha, if you would quit being distracted by your stuff and come listen to me, then when you go back when it's time, then you're going to be better at it. You're going to have a better attitude. You're going to be better equipped. I mean, how could you go back to work frustrated if you came to church on Sunday? Because if you came to church on a Sunday and went to work Monday and was mad about something that was last week, then you didn't listen when you came to church. Say amen anyway. Amen. I mean, if you've got something going on, you know, at your job now, we could go, let's get out of jobs. Let's just go to home life. Distractions are you allowing things to go through your mind that you're trying to figure certain things out, how to take care of certain things, when you should just be listening. And a lot of times we want to get an answer about what we're in right now, and the Lord's like, that's irrelevant. Because at the end of the day, he already has the answer. He already knows what to do. He already knows when he can release it to you and when he wants to release it to you. Because, you know, some situations, God has no problem with it going on because it proves your character. Okay, no, nobody will. Apparently, we hear this now. I don't know what's happening. Jesus said, you'll have trials and tribulations. He didn't say, I will remove the trial immediately. He never says that. I'm with you in it because you being in it lets me know that you still trust me. It's not my issue. I got it. And you just need to stay solid in it. Because he's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. He will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of. A valley is not one step, people. Wow, that was the quickest valley I've ever been in. No, valleys are long. They're mountain ranges on each side. It takes time to get through a valley. But God's with you the whole time, which means you can walk through a valley. It seemed like everything's falling apart. But for you, it seemed like it's been awesome. Even though the environment is there, but because you know how to listen, sit at his feet, hear what he's saying, and then serve into the next step.
Amen.
So during services, we must learn how to turn Martha's off. Must learn how to turn it off. I'm not going to say that there isn't the occasional interruptions. Can that happen? Sure. I understand that. We're not looking for it's perfect. You never miss out on a moment, that there's never an emergency or something happened that pulls you. That can happen. No problem. But if it's constant, next thing you know, you're more concerned. Well, we got this going on, and it's going on so much that you can't even sit and listen anymore. That's when it becomes a problem. Now, as far as the church in the realm of church, we monitor this. We look at your serving. We look at what's going on. We're asking those questions, you know. And in some aspects, we're even seeing your engagement. Now, at the end of the day, I can't tell your heart other than the Holy Ghost telling me what's in your heart and how you're responding. You know, because a person can shout and scream and be just as disconnected. I get that. Someone can run and be disconnected. I understand that. However, you know your heart. And you know if you're fully engaged and you've let everything else about today, tomorrow, next month, not be a problem right now. Although God's not obligated to answer your problem right out the gate, although he will answer it, sometimes he just says, well, how much are you just attentive to me? Because again, Jesus said in the realm of serving, the greatest is the servant of all. Jesus did that. He laid down his life for you. Now he's Lord. So who should be doing the serving? Obviously us. And it was always been us. And you'll never stop Jesus from serving you because he's going to do that. However, you should be just as adamant about serving him. And one way of serving, it's kind of like ironic, is you listen. Because the king's saying, at this point, stop doing. Just come and sit here. Now, being at his feet, you can't pick what that moment is. What do I mean by that? Obviously, you can't say, oh, I wish this worship, the singing would get done so we can get to the preaching. Well, singing is a foot moment. You should participate in that. You should lift your hands. You should sing with your mouth. You should be engaged. It's your worship to God. And he's worthy of it. Not, you know, I need him to say something to me. I wish they'd get to the word. No, you need to just, because you could get a word in the midst of you just worshiping him. Amen. I'm just in your presence right now. Corporately speaking, you understand. Because, I mean, God goes with us everywhere we go because he lives in us, right? Okay, so when one does not know how to turn off Martha, then they will fail to discern being at the feet of Jesus is better. I heard a guy a long time ago, and that's when I first started moving into the Pentecostal church that was. It was Assembly of God that I went to. And this guy just hated this story, to be honest with you, because he was a serving junkie. He just wanted to serve. And he was so adamant that, you know, this issue here in this story makes it look like, you know, God doesn't want people to serve. And that is not a true statement. God wants us to serve. But he equally wants us to listen when he says, hey, I'm talking. You need to stop. The New Testament actually describes another group that is under the guise of serving, but he calls it a different term. He says they're busybodies. They're busybodies. So they're always giving the appearance they're doing something, but they're actually not doing anything. And what they're doing is they're avoiding listening. Because here's the thing about being at his feet. Jesus is going to talk to you. And he's going to tell you what you need. He's going to tell you what's best for you. And some of those conversations we don't always like to hear. So sometimes it's easier to be a Martha because it avoids us from hearing. Because every time I go to service, it's, you know, have you ever heard someone, every time I go to service, it seems like they're always talking about, well, it's because you finally showed up again and we are still pounding on the one thing you're not dealing with. Because obviously it's only happening when you're in. So it must be for you. Every time I go to that church, all they do is talk about money. Well, it must be about you. You must have a money problem. And God always makes me go there. Because I can give you plenty of services. We don't even talk about money. Right? Because it's easy to get busy, because busy will allow you not to listen. Again, my wife made the statement here during prayer. She says, you know, when you're talking to your children, or you're either giving them instruction or correcting them, one or the other, and you see them in the room, but they're not intentively engaged in you, and you make the statement, are you listening to me? So you know they're hearing you, but they're not attentive to understand what you're saying. And you understand, we can get in here and get busy under the guise we're doing something, or just out and about in our own work. We want to go to work. We want to get there. We want to get there because why? I really don't want to get here. And a lot of times, it is true, you're working. But why are you working so much? Is it to avoid hearing? Because when you become Martha only, it's easy for you to see your accomplishments. It's easy. Martha could say, okay, I've done this, I've done that, got this done. I mean, she had a list. She goes to Jesus and says, you should tell Mary to get up and come help me with my list. Because we can't stop till the list is done. And the thing about hearing from God is God will mess up your routine. Yes?
Yes.
He'll mess up your routine. Because at the end of the day, there's only one routine we should have. His.
Yes. Amen.
When he's Lord, if he's like, hey, I want you to go do this today. Okay. Well, who are you serving? Who are we listening to? So, you know, so a lot of congregation members, the challenge you have is that you can get so involved in work, which is serving that capacity, that you pull yourself out of church, serving the body, but then also, but more importantly, you're not listening. Because I can tell you right now, having something on the radio doesn't mean you're listening to it. Because I know what you're all doing. I know what you're all doing when it comes to your Bible reading. For the ones that have the audio, you're listening to it. Because in your Bible reading, you're like, man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play that. Now, hearing is awesome because faith comes by. So there's nothing wrong with you listening. Unless you're not listening. It's there, but it became background noise to your project or whatever you're doing that's keeping you from stopping and either going through your electronic device or flipping your pages. So for me, if I'm going to listen to the Bible, number one, I'm going to put it right here in my ears so there is nothing else that is out there to hear, number one. Number two, then I have to be conscious, and I am conscious, of whether or not I got something. Like I'm aware of where I'm at in the guy talking to me. Now, there are some places that are easier for me to be very attentive. Driving in the vehicle is that, because I'm all locked in, but I'm not so locked into traffic that I can't be locked into what I'm hearing. We've kind of conditioned ourselves to hear that way in one sense. So it's a good place for me to do it. But to have it at the house just open where you can hear, man, we could be five chapters in. I'm like, what? Well, that was a waste of time because I'm going to have to go back and read it anyway now.
Right?
Because my busyness has kept me from being Mary. Mary. You know, and I realize there's a lot of believers out there that genuinely, they do love God. I'm not questioning someone loving God in the general sense, okay? I'm not getting in the biblical sense of loving him. Just in the general sense. You know, they're not there to just be anti-God. I don't want nothing to do with you. I understand that's not their attitude. However, some of the ways they're trying to act like they're being closer, they're actually not being closer at all because they're not being attentive at his feet. In essence, they're not being seated to hear so that it makes a change so that I can be somewhere else. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, hearing from God when you learn how to sit at his feet opens up a lot. I'll give you a case in point tonight. Pastor Mark, we did our prayer, and Pastor Marcy's, you know, praying, giving some discourse, then we moved into prayer, and then she came back, and then she started talking about the relationship with the Father. And then God downloaded me a bunch of stuff for the marriage conference. I'm like, I had one thought, I'm like, dude. So now I'm on my phone, because now I'm just... And it has nothing to do with prayer. It has to do with a conference that's coming up at the end of this month. And I wasn't even talking to him about it. I didn't ask him about it. It wasn't part of my prayer walk. Lord, what are we going to do with the marriage conference? I'm not even thinking about the marriage conference other than telling you what date it is and you need to register, you know, in an announcement tonight. Other than that, I'm not thinking about it. But because I've learned that I'm in his feet, he has permission to talk to me about anything. You know what he decided? Hey, I'm going to give you something to start chewing on. Because he didn't give me an answer. He just gave me a what? Which means this is going to require some more seeking, son. I'm like, well, that's good. I need this. So I'm writing it down. Now I'm all locked into something. I don't know what anybody else is going to talk about at the marriage conference, but I'm locked into a thought process now that me and the Lord is going to have further discourse. And it came through the simplicity of being in prayer, not thinking about what I have to do at work tomorrow, what I have to do at my house, what I have to do here, this, that, and the other. I learned how to turn Martha off. And I'm just Mary now. Because, you know, even in this moment with you today, I have to learn how to be Mary in the midst of Martha, turn it on and off. I'm serving you as a pastor. This is what I do. But at the same time, I got to be still sitting at his feet at the same time. When one does not know how to turn off Martha, you'll fail to discern being at his feet is better. Because I've come to find that those who genuinely love church and love to be in church to hear from the Lord and to grow, every aspect of their life becomes better. I mean, how would it not? You're talking to God. You're allowing him to talk to you. You're giving him access. This is not religious training. I mean, religious exercise where you're just showed up and you're checking a box. You're intentive. You're like intentional. Because if you cannot attend service due to work, it's going to move you to anxiety about things related to work. Because she couldn't recognize, I mean, I invited Jesus in. I mean, it's not like she didn't know who Jesus is. And then he's going to start revealing stuff. And we're going to be like, I wish I could listen, but I got too much to do. And that's why Jesus prompts the response he does to Martha. Because basically what she did is she prioritized what she needed to do as more important than what he was saying, even though she invited him. She's in the same room with him. But she's decided that what she has to do actually has priority over what he's saying. And since what she has to do has more priority, it actually takes more than one person. Or at least it would be accomplished quicker. And since Mary lives here too, by all rights, she should abandon what she's hearing from him and come and serve her. And work with her to accomplish her priority first. Then when we're done, if Jesus isn't finished, we'll catch the end. instead of saying, I walked you in, I got this, but he starts talking. It seemed like he ain't worried about that we hadn't finished the dishes. Okay. Well, you might find that Jesus had come cook with you after he finishes talking. Because that's just kind of how he is. He's not like, I'm going to talk, now serve me, go do the rest of your chores. I mean, he's like, I'll come in the kitchen and help you out. Right? And I have found that if I will take the time with him, then in my serving, he's like, I'm right here. Why? Because he's a co-laborer. So in essence, the Lord's like, I know what you got to do. That's okay. I'm going to help you after I get done talking to you. And most of us miss that moment of him helping us in whatever we're doing in life. Same thing with the church staff. You're going to miss out the challenges that you have just with the different things that, you know, that they do, especially, you know, the preschool and the private school, the different challenges they have with students and parents that don't attend our church at all, and students that don't attend our church either. And those challenges they have, you understand, you'll be able to navigate them better because you come and sit and hear instead of just going home and sleeping. So you can be ready for the next day. When the Lord's like, I'll download in you. I'll quicken your mortal body. I'll give you then sweet rest that you, you know, never would have been able to get on your own. And then I'll make peace about that situation the minute you walk in the room or deal with them on my own. You might show up and they'll be like, I'm sorry. Oh, they're actually sorry? Wow, how did this happen? Well, because an angel showed up and said, you better tell your teacher. I saw an angel. I got to go tell you I'm sorry. You know, Jesus, the Lord knows how to put his finger on a wall and write things out. He can do stuff. And he still does stuff today and wants to get involved with us, but he wants us to be attentive to him. Amen? That bless you? Yes. So when we come to service, let's be passionate that when we're here, because again, like the ushers, they having to turn stuff off to be Mary right now, but in a minute, they're fixing to jump into their Martha role. Okay? But then there's those that are being Marthas right now. They're serving the church. But I pray they're disciplined enough that they'll go online to listen to this message. And when they're listening, they won't be doing it while they're working at the house. Now, when it comes to preaching, when I do watch preaching, I do nothing. Because that's a waste of my time. I've put a couple ministers on at times. And next thing you know, you're starting and you're like, I don't even know where they're at. I mean, it's just wah, 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 wah. That's what it's become. My spirit's not getting it. Nothing's getting it. I mean, honestly, at that point, it's kind of like the seed thrown to the wayside. Because you have no understanding. I mean, there's no attentiveness to it at all. It's in the background, but you've given yourself this appearance that you're being holy because you're listening to preaching all day. But you're not even receiving anything you're hearing. Because it's not a Mary time, it's a Martha while Jesus is in the room, right? So again, for me, I don't do that. I can't. I mean, that's my limitation, all right? You may not have that, and you can do it and obtain and do the other things, and that's awesome. As long as you can be at the feet, then that's good. You're seated, and then once you receive and you know what it is that God gave you, then you can go serve. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.